Well, this weekend, not telling you anything you don't know, we're celebrating America. And in 1956, you may not know this, Congress adopted "In God We Trust" as our national motto. Now, as we saw on this video, for a lot of people, sadly, those are just words stamped on our currency. But the dictionary defines motto as a principle, goal, or ideal. And as our national motto is "In God We Trust," that goal, that principle, that ideal to which we are pursuing as Americans. Sadly, I fear we're traveling down the same slippery slope that Israel traveled over 2,600 years ago. To the nation Israel, God sent a prophet by the name of Jeremiah. And Jeremiah reminded them of the appropriate object of their trust. But sadly, they did not heed what the prophet said. In Jeremiah chapter 17, we will read about a trust that is cursed and a trust that is blessed. And all of us, I pray, will ask ourselves the question, where's my trust? Just like that man on the video said, where is your trust? And is my trust that which is going to be cursed or that which is going to be blessed? Notice in Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 5 and 6, there is a trust that is cursed. Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart turns away from the Lord. He's like a shrub in the desert and shall not see any good come. He shall dwell in the parched places of the wilderness in an uninhabited salt land. The Hebrew word for trust is the word batach, and it carries the idea of confidence or security. And so Jeremiah says, one who has their confidence or security in man is cursed. Why is that? Well, a man-centered trust, first of all, looks to their political leadership. And I'm not talking about just Republican or Democrat. I'm talking about our president, our Congress, our Supreme Court, our governors, all the political leaders on down the line. Psalm 146, verses 3 and 4 tells us about this. Put not your trust in princes, in a son of man, in whom there is no salvation. When his breath departs, he returns to the earth. On that very day, his plans perish. I remember years and years and years ago, had to have been 1976, is that when Jimmy Carter was elected president? I believe so. We were in our living room. I was just a baby back then, but I do remember this. Watching the Democratic National Convention, and someone had a poster that said, J.C. will save America. And my dad piped up and said, I don't like that. That person, as well, I'm sad to say, perhaps many people, even in this room, put too much trust in our political leaders. Folks, what's going to change our country is not a new occupant in the White House, or not a new majority in the Congress or the same occupant or the same majority. What's going to change our country is for men and women, boys and girls, to begin placing their trust in Jesus Christ and in Him alone. Because that's when the change begins. It's from the inside out. See, the best our government can do is the outside, and hopefully it get in. But most of the time, it's just legalizing what we do on the outside. And so a trust that is cursed is a man-centered trust that looks to political leadership, whatever and whoever that may be. Notice, secondly, a man-centered trust looks to material wealth. Proverbs 11, verse 28 tells us, whoever trusts in his riches will fall, but the righteous will flourish like a green leaf. Now, we have been blessed in our country to have a wonderful economic machine called capitalism. But we're seeing that changing ever so slowly, aren't we? And in some cases, not so slowly. Is your trust, dear friend, in your IRA? You know, I'm getting pretty close to start having to draw from that IRA. Is my trust in that? He who trusts in the abundance of his riches will fall. Yes, America is a land that is blessed with many natural resources and wealth. But is that where our trust should be? Not according to God's word. Thirdly, what about our military might? We have all through the 20th century and in now to the 21st century been a powerful nation militarily. And we have been a force for good all through the world military. We are one of the few countries in the history of mankind that has not used our military might for the purpose of conquering other countries and bringing them under our influence. But is the military might we have as Americans that in which we place our trust? Isaiah 31, verse 1 declares for us, woe to those who go down to Egypt for help and rely on horses, who trust in chariots because they are many, and in horsemen because they are very strong, but do not look to the Holy One of Israel or consult the Lord. You see, Israel, during Isaiah's day, as well as during Jeremiah's day, were looking to the nation of Egypt for help. Help against the Babylonians. Help militarily. And both of those prophets said, that's not where it's going to happen. Woe to those who look to other countries for military help. Well, finally, and we saw this on the video, the guy that said, who would I trust? Trust myself. Psalm 115, verses 2 through 8. Why should the nations say, where is their God? Our God is in the heavens. He does all that he pleases. I love that verse. That's a great verse. But then he goes on to contrast our God in the heavens with the vain, empty idols upon the earth. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of human hands. They have mouths, but do not speak, eyes, but do not see. They have ears, but do not hear, noses, but do not smell. They have hands but do not feel, feet but do not walk, and they do not make a sound in their throat. Those who make them become like them. So do all who trust in them. Folks, the problem with idolatry, whether it's in a stone object or gold object, as the psalmist was describing, or trust in yourself, the problem with idolatry is we become like the gods we worship. And so why is it not good to trust in man? Look at verse 9 of Jeremiah 17. Because man can't be trusted. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? The reason you can't trust in other people, other things, even yourself, is that we can't trust in people because people can't be trusted. With the exception of one thing, this kind of ties today's message to all of last month's sermons on marriage by the book, Proverbs 31, verses 10 through 12. Listen up, men. An excellent wife, who can find? She is far more precious than jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not harm all the days of her life. So the only person on this earth that you can trust, guys, is your wife. And wives, we could say by extension, your husband. But otherwise, we don't trust people because people can't be trusted. Now, what's the result of a man-centered trust? Well, we've seen in verse 5, it's cursed is the one who trusts in man. But notice in verse 6, he is like a shrub in the desert and shall not see any good come. He shall dwell in the parched places of the wilderness and in an uninhabited salt land. If you've ever watched a Western movie, you will have this image probably fixed in your mind. There's going to be a gunfight, you know. Meet me in the middle of the town at high noon. Okay, we're going to meet in the middle of town at high noon. Prior to those guys coming out to have that gunfight, inevitably there will be a tumbleweed rolling along the dusty streets, right? You laugh because it's like, yeah! And you'll have some music, you know. But that's a person who trusts in men. They have a tumbleweed existence. They are like a shrub in the desert, blown about wherever the winds of culture may carry them. No roots, no depth, no purpose or meaning, just blown about here and there. Folks, there are millions of people in our country that is living that kind of existence because their trust is misplaced. And so the only way they had to look is, okay, what's the current, you know, where's the wind blowing? That's what I believe. But notice in the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, verse 15, the Bible says that's the reason we are to love people but trust God. For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we trust Christ and your love toward all the saints. We love people. You see, you don't trust people because people can't be trusted, but you can love people because people can be loved. See, once you start placing your trust in people, you're headed for a great disappointment. And those of you who are members of River Cities Community Church, those of you who are visiting and even considering perhaps membership in our church, believe me. Hummel said, trust me. Believe me. You don't place your trust in this pastor or any other pastor. Because give me enough time, I'm going to let you down. I may not do it intentionally or purposefully, but I will do it. Why? Because I'm a person, I'm a man. The only one in whom you can place your trust is the one who will never let you down, the Lord Jesus Christ. But please, love me. Such is a man-centered trust. But then notice the prophet goes on to talk about a trust that is blessed. You remember the four items in which we cannot place our trust? Political leaders, material wealth, military might, self. Notice the scripture all through, and all these are various psalms that say a God-centered trust is better than political leaders. Psalm 118, verses 8 and 9. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. God is the ultimate object, or should be the ultimate object of our trust, not political leaders. Secondly, remember, material wealth. Psalm 52, verses 7 and 8. See the man who would not make God his refuge, but trusted in the abundance of his riches, and sought refuge in his own destruction. But I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the steadfast love of God forever and ever. A God-centered trust is better than trusting in material wealth. Remember, thirdly, military might. Psalm 44, verses 6 and 7. For not in my bow do I trust, nor can my sword save me. But you have saved us from our foes and have put to shame those who hate us. Now, I'm all for a strong military, folks, especially in the kind of world we live in today. But my trust is not in our military strength. My trust is in God and His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then finally, remember the last one? I trust myself. Psalm 40, verse 4. Blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust, who does not turn to the proud, to those who go astray after a lie. A God-centered trust is better than trusting in political leaders, trusting in material wealth, trusting in military might, or trusting in self. A number of years ago, in fact, preceding the 1988 Winter Olympics, there was a television program that featured blind skiers skiing a slalom course. Now, if you're aware of anything about skiing, you'll know that a slalom course, the skier goes back and forth between what they call these gates. How can a blind skier possibly navigate a slalom course? Well, they paired that blind skier with a sighted skier. And they initially practiced going down a very slight grade, and the sighted skier would say, left, and the blind skier would know to turn left. Right, he'd know to turn right. Straight, know to go straight. Left, right, straight, left, and he'd navigate that. Well, after a while, they got perfected in that, and he learned to trust the skier who saw the course. They could navigate a more steep hill, listening to the voice of the one who was giving him direction. Man, what a vivid picture of the Christian life, huh? The one who sees all. God says, this is the way, walk ye in it. Left, right, straight, left, right, straight. And we listen to the voice of God from the Word of God, and He guides us through life. Well, verse 8 gives us the result of a God-centered life. The man who trusts is in the Lord. He is like a tree planted by water that sends out its roots by the stream and does not fear when heat comes, for its leaves remain green, and is not anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit. Verse 8 says, he is like a tree planted by water. If you looked up this Hebrew word in the lexicon, which is a fancy word for dictionary, you'll see that the primary definition of this word planted is literally transplanted. It has the idea of a purposeful planting. I did a little bit of that this last week. Along the back fence of our backyard, we have a number of bushes and plants. We've got some people call them peonies. Mary and I call them pennies. Whatever you call them is up to you. And we have a couple of azalea bushes back there, a couple of crepe myrtles, trees, a couple of lilac bushes, but they're all relatively large bushes. And right next to one of those bushes, a remnant from last year, was this little old bitty flower. I mean, little beautiful flower. It had beautiful yellow blossoms on it, but it was absolutely dwarfed by these other bushes. And every morning I'd go out on the back porch, and I'd drink my coffee and read my Bible, and I'd look at that flower. Say, man, that is out of place there. And so I told Mary, I said, what do you think about transplanting that flower to the front yard where we have a number of other little flowers where it could be more at home? She said, that's a great idea. Go ahead for it. So I did this week. Dug it up, brought it over to the front yard, transplanted it, gave it a purposeful planting. And folks, if you have a God-centered trust, you will have a purposeful life. But not only that, you will have a fruitful life. Notice how the verse goes on. Sends out its roots by the stream, does not fear when heat comes, for its leaves remain green, and is not anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit. Does anybody remember another passage of Scripture that reads a lot like that? Psalm 1, verses 2 and 3. Psalm 1, verse 1 begins, "Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight," verse 2, "is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree," same word, "transplanted by streams of water, that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers." So a God-centered trust equals a word-centered trust. A person's delight in the law of the Lord results in the same things that a person who trusts in the Lord his God. I love that. Remember, we saw that last week a little bit in our sermon on marriage. We saw that a spirit-filled life from Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18 and following, when it talks about be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord. Wives, submit to your husbands. Husbands, love your wives. Those attributes of a Spirit-filled life, those characteristics, are the same characteristics of a word-filled life, a Scripture-filled life. Because in Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, it says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Wives, submit yourselves to your husbands. Husbands, love your wives." So just like a Spirit-filled life is a word-filled life, a God-centered life is a word-centered life. Is there any reason we're talking this year about living by the book? All of those blessings that come upon you, a purposeful life and a fruitful life. I love this passage of Scripture, Psalm 31, verses 14 and the first part of 15. "But I trust in you, O Lord. I say, you are my God. My times are in your hand." If you've ever been in the hospital and I've come to visit you, perhaps you're facing surgery or something along that nature, I will quote the first part of Psalm 31, verse 15. I can never remember where I found it, but I quote it. "Thank you, God, that our times are in your hands." And they're the hands that bear the nail print that tell us once and for all how much you love us. So, Christian, in what or in whom does your trust lay? Is it man-centered? political leaders, material wealth, military might, even yourself, your life will be like a tumbleweed in that old Western town, going with wherever the winds will carry it. Or is it a God-centered trust? A life that is purposeful, you're transplanted, and a life that is fruitful. Friends, a God-centered trust always begins by placing your trust in Him for what He did for you in order to be saved. That's where trust in God begins, by your faith in Jesus Christ. And if you're here this morning and you don't have Christ as your Savior, you don't have Christ as the ground of your trust for eternal life, you cannot live a God-centered trust. It's impossible for you. The best you can do is a man-centered trust. But God wants you to have a trust that's zeroed in on Him. And it starts by trusting Him with the most important decision of your life. And that's where you will spend eternity. A week ago Friday, I subbed in on the Crisis Prayer and Referral Network, a ministry that we have in our church that ministers to people really all over the country and even in some foreign lands by prayer. They call in, share their request, and we pray. I had my 2-hour stint on Friday from noon until 2, and a gentleman by the name of Jeff called up and said, I am in terrible health. I have stage 4 cancer. I'm dying. And then he went on and gave some further detail. And I finally, frankly, folks, with a boldness that's a little bit uncharacteristic for me. You know, I'm like a lion up here in the pulpit, but you get me one-on-one and I'm a little pussycat, okay? But with uncharacteristic boldness, well, in fact, Jeff said, I'm dying. I need prayer. And I said, well, Jeff, I am going to pray for you physically. I'm even going to pray for your healing. But the most important thing for you at this point in your life is where you go after you die. Have you ever trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior? And I gave him a brief gospel overview. And he prayed the sinner's prayer over the phone. Amen. Thank the Lord. Now, I'll probably never know this side of heaven what happened to Jeff. But let's face it, folks, we're all going to die. Our dear friend Willie McAllister had a statement that he made several times. He said, you know, ain't none of us getting out of this life alive. And he's right, unless Jesus returns. And so, the moment after you draw that last breath, where are you going to be? It's only one of two places, heaven or hell. Jesus died so you could go to heaven. And that is something we would love to share with you after the service. In our prayer room, just go past the American flag, first door to the left. Pastor Scott will be there. Be glad to show you from the Bible how you can know that you have eternal life, and be glad to pray with you and pray for you as we sing that closing song. Father in heaven, thank you so much that our trust can be and is in you. And Lord, if there's someone here who does not have that trust, because they don't belong to you. They've never trusted you as their Savior. God, may they respond today and acknowledge their sin and acknowledge what Jesus did for them on the cross nearly 2,000 years ago so that they could have eternal life. And help them be born again today and begin having a God-centered trust in their life. I ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.